Thank you very much. So I'm going to talk about a project in Montana today, a project that's still ongoing. Is anybody here from Montana? Wow, three. That's great. Maybe you can chime in at the appropriate place. So I will present you some of the participatory research that we've done to increase access to healthcare in a county, Lewis and Clark County. But I will more broadly talk about using a human rights approach to do that, because I think this is the more interesting and innovative aspect about our work in Lewis and Clark County, and that's indeed why I am involved. I'm from a human rights organization based in New York. I have no disclosures to make. This is Lewis and Clark County. Just for your information, it's sort of part of western Montana, and it is the seat of the government. So just very briefly to go over the statistics, the county is a typical rural county. That is, you have health professional shortage areas. You have roughly twice as many people underserved than in the rest of the country. You have great needs around provider availability, but other than that, the county is not particularly disenfranchised in the sense that, and you see in the lower right-hand box that there are other counties in Montana that are much worse off. You see that the poverty rate is actually not all that high. But you still have about almost a third of all people living below 200% of the poverty line, and you have uninsured people ranging from around 14 to 21%. There's no clear statistics around that. There's monitoring by the federally qualified health center. That the visits by uninsured people have increased dramatically, and that 12% of adults are unable to see a doctor due to cost. So I'm just briefly mentioning the statistics to suggest that this is a fairly typical rural county, but not a particularly disenfranchised county. So we have entered into this exciting project, not necessarily because this county was particularly needy, but because the county was particularly willing to do it. So it started with a resolution from the Board of Health, which is a board of volunteers, elected volunteers, and they passed a resolution saying that everybody has the right to health care, the human right to health care, and therefore there are obligations on the local government to ensure universal access to health care. And so they appointed a task force with this resolution, and the first part of the task force work was a community needs assessment. So this is the first part of the project that I'm going to be talking about. The second part, which is currently underway now, is the planning for how to actually make healthcare more accessible. So very briefly, just about the human right to health, what is it? It is basically an obligation on the government to respect, protect, and fulfill our right to a system of health protection. So this is codified in international standards. But more importantly, it is a normative framework. That is, it leads us to consider the principles of universality, that is, that everyone must have access to equal high-quality health care. The principle of equity is that costs and resources must be shared equitably. And the principle of accountability, which also leads us to this understanding of public goods, that the provision of health care must be overseen by the people and shared as a public good. Those are key principles we can distill from looking at the international human rights framework, and the county did just that. The other aspect of using the human rights framework is that it leads you immediately to foregrounding participation in the research, in planning, in devising a healthcare system that works for all. So human rights primarily arise from people's fundamental needs, and first and foremost prioritize the needs of the most disadvantaged groups. So this all means that you automatically have to place people at the center of policy and practice. So participation itself is a key human right. And this is what influenced our approach there. It wasn't done with the resolution coming from the top. It was now our task to go and actually involve the community and speak to the people in Lewis and Clark County. So the project was initiated and led by the City County Board of Health, which is very important. It is important to have an early champion involved. And they set up the Universal Healthcare Task Force, which was entirely all volunteer community members. And their work program was unfunded. So this is where supporters and partners came in. So a key supporter was the Public Health Department, which provided the administrative coordination for the project, and also some support, at least sort of moral support, from the Community Health Center in Helena. And as partners, this is where my organization comes in. We have partnered, we being NESRI, the National Economic and Social Rights Initiative, partnered with the Montana Human Rights Network, which is a statewide membership human rights organization in Montana. And we act as advisory and supportive members of the healthcare task force. We basically try to help with anything they could possibly need. And they need a lot, and we can't help with everything, but we always try. And then we try to find other experts across the country who may have the skills and resources to help. So the community needs assessment that we conducted had several elements, but I want to speak about the part that was the most participatory, which was focus group research that we've done. We've trained the task force members. Again, they're community members themselves with no experience in this. We've trained them, and they organized and conducted 9 focus groups with a total of 56 participants all across the county. And we prioritized uninsured people and people with a very low household income. So just very briefly, statistics here, not all that important since we're not doing a quantitative research project, but clearly to show that we're emphasized speaking with and involving poor and uninsured people. So we have both participation objectives and research objectives. So clearly we wanted to reach out to the community, enable the task force to do that. And we also wanted to enable community members to discuss their health needs and really to raise their awareness about their rights in the context of healthcare and receiving appropriate healthcare. And the research objectives were really, as I've already mentioned, to especially identify how rural, low-income, uninsured, and underinsured people use healthcare in the county, to identify barriers to access, unmet health needs, and then, very importantly, to solicit recommendations on what measures the county should take and what they thought about the human right to health care. So moving into the findings, we divided this up by the human rights standards, the first one being access to health care, which must be universal, equitable, and not dependent on payment. And what we found in the focus groups is that cost barriers were indeed impeding full access to health care and coverage, affecting low-income and middle-income people the most, both uninsured and insured people. That coverage does not necessarily mean access to care. A lot of people had high deductible insurance plans that they couldn't actually use. And that access to health care is indeed based on a person's ability to pay. And here's a quote from a focus group: it's, if you don't have money, then you don't have the right to health care. The second human rights standard being that health care has to be available where and when needed. And what we found in the focus groups, not unsurprisingly, is a shortage of healthcare providers, particularly in the most sort of frontier areas. And this really most impacted low-income residents. And there were lots of negative opinions around providers not taking patients, and sometimes that being motivated by business concerns. There are few local specialists, so people had to travel far. People were dependent on personal transportation. and they found the health system really difficult to navigate and were not quite available, aware of all the services. And the fourth human rights standard being quality, that all healthcare has to be medically appropriate, timely, continuous, patient-focused, and there have to be standards by which to measure this. So what we found, again, I'm going to go through this quite quickly. I do have handouts here available if you're interested. That providers were actually not sufficiently incentivized to give appropriate care. There were lots of concerns around the overuse of technology. There's also a clear tendency that we could observe that the quality of care experience increases with the income level of the patient, which is a clear concern around equity issues. The county's only hospital, it's a private facility in Helena, was very unpopular, and whereas the community health center and its satellites was pretty popular. And the principle of dignity, a key human rights principle, obviously requires respecting patients' dignity and providing culturally appropriate care, being responsive to diverse needs. We actually found that low-income people reported quite severe infringements of dignity, and some of them were made to feel like they had no right to demand quality care because they were not paying full costs, and they carried around with them this fear of stigmatization, and we actually found that that may be reinforced by some fellow residents who were at a slightly higher income brackets and who publicly displayed resentment of alleged welfare recipients receiving free care. Nevertheless, we found that somewhat surprisingly, around two-thirds of participants actually agreed with the Board of Health and considered healthcare a human right. And as I said, this was across the county, different groups of people. There were quite a few people that didn't feel comfortable using the term human rights, that spoke in other sort of ethical moral terms. But among poor people, among Medicare and Medicaid enrollees, and among students, we found that most people actually considered healthcare a human right. And the problem group was the group that I've already described, expressed sort of feelings of resentment. Really, they're self-identified as middle class, but according to what they stated on their questionnaires, their incomes, they were very, very low income. So they were just above being able to being eligible for Medicaid. So that's a really problematic group that falls between the cracks and then develops this kind of resentment. Just very briefly, what did people think about the government's role? Did they think healthcare was a public good? There were different approaches to that. You'll see some quotes here. Some linked it to the concept of responsibility. Some people explicitly said that the human right was linked to the basic human rights values of equity and universality and inclusion. And interestingly, most participants really agreed that we have a collective obligation to help everybody to be as healthy as possible. And this collective obligation could be government, that was usually the people who were in favor of a human rights approach, but it could also be the community, or some kind of, or even the faith community, that was what people felt comfortable with who didn't explicitly feel that comfortable with human rights. So there was quite a broad basis for consensus. So these are some of the recommendations that emerged within the focus groups. Those were the community's ideas distilled by us into sort of fairly general pronouncements, expanding financing options to enable access for all, expanding primary care in the community health center, improving care coordination, improving navigability, increasing transportation options, and responding to patients' needs. So now we're going into the second phase of the project, where we have to think about what is the task force actually going to do. Are we going to increase or reallocate funding for healthcare? Is that something we can recommend that the county can do? Thinking around options on that. How can we expand the delivery system, especially primary care? Can we develop some kind of collaboration between the community health center and the other providers? Can we hold providers, and specifically the private hospital, accountable, more accountable to meeting community needs? Can we have a community oversight committees? Can we have more community involvement to ensure accountability in the private provider system? So in this action planning phase, we'll have to develop consensus recommendations for actions. We'll have to develop proposals for financing and implementing the recommendations. We have to see how that fits in with federal health reform. And I just want to close by drawing out the lessons learned on the two important aspects of the project. Using a human rights framework in a rural county in the state of Montana, I think we learned a lot. We learned that human rights can be used as a tool to raise awareness and engage people, as a vehicle for participation and empowerment, and as a basis for thinking about and demanding specific local policy change. And it actually taps into an existing ethics of caring for neighbors, community spirit, very much alive in Montana. And then thinking about a project like this, which has no funding, but is sort of based on a solidarity approach, a partnership approach, whereby other organizations that have an interest in facilitating rights-based change help out. And I think this effort has been quite successful in that regard. We've offered unconditional support, and we've tried to meet any requests for help, and we've worked inclusively with a lot of people that have challenged what we're doing, but I feel this was a very sort of democratic approach that is at a pretty good place right now. So thank you very much. Two and a half minutes for questions. Yes. Well, there's sort of technological solutions to it that could be diagnostics, but it's, we especially heard it from the mental health focus groups. I mean, they focused on this approach of prioritizing drugs over therapy sessions, things like that. But we also hear it from interventions where operations were suggested quite immediately, whereas some physical therapy may have helped, or then operations were too expensive. People consulted somebody out of county, and they just recommended therapy, and the problem was addressed. So I think this is, as far as I find it elsewhere in this country, a common approach that doctors are likely to want to use whatever machinery they have available, because they had to pay for purchasing those apparatuses rather than taking a bit more of a low-key approach.
In terms especially of the action plan, did you find that the insurance companies were any kind of partner in this? Were they willing to work with you and work with the program itself?
Well, we're still in that phase. We're still thinking about that. We haven't actually prioritize looking at the insurance companies because a lot of what we're finding is that insurance in this case is more of an obstacle than a facilitator. So we were looking at, can we somehow circumvent the whole sort of insurance industry? Can we do it without going through them? Because they have their imperatives, their cost imperatives. They need to meet certain goals that are usually not goals of keeping people healthy. So can we do something through the cooperative health centers, the community health center there? That's an approach that doesn't require insurance, that is much more direct and immediate, and that is already very much used in rural areas. So we were looking at, can we strengthen what already works rather than trying to, work with what doesn't work so much and where we may not have the power to change it. Anyone else? Yes.
In your focus groups, do you have any focus groups that are specific Native American? Because I know there's a large Native American.
That's right. We actually did not do that. We talked about it beforehand, and we would have liked to do it, but it requires much more outreach, much more resources, and then we looked at what we can realistically plan for in the action planning phase, and we felt that even addressing any kind of functioning of the Indian Health Service would be beyond our means at this point. So in a way, it was due to lack of resources, but we also didn't want to raise expectations among the native population that we would actually be able to do something significant to change the way they get healthcare, or rather usually not get healthcare. That just really seemed beyond our means. So we felt like we had to keep the expectations realistic, what you can do in a sort of unfunded volunteer projects like this. But it's definitely something that needs to be done there. Yeah, thank you.